I just want to emphasize the sweetness of Jesus and how good he is today. I want you to experience that today. And so I'm really excited about this series. It's called Raise to Life. And so the great thing about this series is when we were, you know, really praying about it and asking the Lord, what does he have for us? And how does he want us to communicate this with you? What we kept hearing over and over again was this like character study of some people surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and obscure individuals that normally wouldn't have like a platform during Easter time, but we really felt like this was necessary for this. And so I think Richie talked about last week, Lazarus, and how Lazarus was raised to life, and how there was so much, you know, so many things surrounding that season and surrounding what was happening during that time frame. And I think one of the big takeaways that I had from last week was how Jesus, you know, they come to him and they're crying and they're weeping and they're pouring out their soul. And Jesus, Richie said last week, the Bible actually says that he was angry that they were mad, that they didn't believe that he could do it. And I think that hit home for me, because a lot of times we want to stomp our feet and say, well, do it this way, Lord. And if you don't do it this way, then, you know, my faith is on the line here, Lord. If you don't come through like I want you to, this is what's on the line here, Lord. And I think what he's asking us over and over again, and what Richie said last week was so key, was even if I don't, am I still good? Even if I don't come through like you think I should, am I still Lord of your life? And I think he asks that question of us daily. And when we sit with him and when we're in his presence long enough, I think he asks that question of us of every circumstance we encounter at every season of life, what our highs or lows look like. I think he constantly reiterates that question. I know, but am I good? I know, but do you believe me? Do you trust that I'm still faithful? And I really want to kind of stop at that point right here. And I want to introduce you to our next character. And her name is Mary of Bethany. And some of you know her, some of you don't. If you've really not been in church before, you may have never heard about Mary of Bethany. But I want to explain a little bit about this woman today, lay a little bit of a framework for her. Before I do, I want to ask you this question, and if you have an opportunity, write it down, jot it down in a phone or on your paper, on your palm, wherever you can write. I want you to write this question down, and it says this: have you ever felt impressed by God to do something that honestly didn't make sense at that time, but later you knew why he asked you? Have you ever felt like I'm supposed to do something and it doesn't make sense right now? I don't know why I'm being impressed to do this. But then later on, you look back and you go, I see. I see why you asked me to do that. I see why you asked me to say yes and start serving at that church. I see why you asked me and why you led me to that job. I see why you asked me to lay down that situation. Our vision from the rearview mirror is much easier sometimes. And so I want to lay a framework for that today. But I believe this woman, Mary of Bethany, I believe her life is told in three stories in the Bible. She only gets three. And I believe the three stories are so pivotal for us as Christians, because it really does encapsulate what our walk with Christ looks like. It really does. And I want to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Mary of Bethany. That's what the Bible calls her. And we hear about her from a couple of stories. She was the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And these three stories tell a beautiful picture about her. Let's start with the first one. We have this story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we have this woman, Mary of Bethany. You know, she's in my opinion, she appears to be a younger sibling. I'm just going to say it like that. I'm the oldest, so I know. And so Martha is busy, and Jesus is coming over to visit. And this is a very an important thing. I mean, come on, this is the Savior of the world. We believe he's our Messiah. He's coming over for dinner at our house. So we're going to put away the crazy. We're going to clean the house. We're going to make sure everything's nice and tidy. Lazarus, you're going to talk to Jesus at the table. Mary and I are going to handle the kitchen. That's what we do. Here we go. So Jesus comes over and he's sitting at table. The Bible says reclining at table, and he's communicating and talking. And all of a sudden, Martha is looking around and she's like, why am I the only one working here? Why am I the only one doing anything here? And so she goes and Mary's sitting on the floor at the feet of Jesus, listening to him speak. And Martha's upset at this. She's frustrated. We have a job to do. We have something we need to do. So she gets it in her mind. I know what I'll do. I'm going to tell Jesus to tell her to help me. So she goes over and she says, hey, Jesus, nice story. I gotta tell you, is there any way you can have my sister Mary? She doesn't know her place. Can you have her come and help me? Church, I want to just caution you on something. If you're an adult and Jesus is asking you to come away, you got to be careful to what other people say around you, what your relationship with the Lord needs to look like, the way that you need to worship, the way that you need to sit at his feet. Be very careful of the people around you speaking into your situation when he's called you away. Be very careful of that. So we see Jesus, and here's what he says in Luke 10, 41 and 42. He says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. The very first thing that we see from the life of Mary, and I believe the life of us as believers, is that we got to sit at his feet. We got to sit at his feet. We got to sit at his feet. There is always going to be something vying for your attention. Always. There's always chores. There's always babies. There's always something that needs to be done. There's a deadline at work. There's a project that has to be completed. There's always going to be something vying for your attention. But can I just encourage you, church, that if we're going to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we have to be able to stop and prioritize our time with him. Because I believe that there are things that he wants to speak only to you. Only to you. And if you grew up in a church or a denomination that didn't emphasize a relationship with Jesus, this concept is hard to understand. Because why would the Savior of the universe, the deity, the person on the stained glass windows, the person on the cross, why would that person want a relationship with me? It doesn't make sense. He's God. I'm not. But let me tell you something that's so beautiful about Jesus is that he responded to Mary. And he said, she's found something that's of more value than busy work. Because she's building a relationship with me. Because I have something that I want to say just to her. Church, he's got something that he wants to say just to you. And the more you come away with him, the louder his voice becomes. The more clearly you hear him. So that when winds and waves of life come, you're not distracted by, why did this happen to me? What you hear is, I'm with you. I've got you. I see you. We're going to do this together. That's what's so beautiful about Jesus and a relationship with him. Isaiah 55, 3 through 6 says it this way, and listen to what this says. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and people unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. This verse shares God's heart for us. He's calling us away for a reason. He's calling us to come and sit at his feet for a reason, because he wants to share something with you. It could be tied to what he's called you to do. Chip this morning in team rally was so beautiful when he said, I'm asking the Lord, even at this season, Lord, what have you called me to do? What have you called me to do in this season? There's wisdom and direction and healing and discernment that he has just for you. And we want to do this sometimes where we take our walk with the Lord and we look at it as this corporate, big type of, you know, relationship with the Lord of, it's all of these things. It's all of these people. But I think we forget sometimes that he wants a relationship just with you. Don't forget that, church. Because what happens is we can come to church on Sunday and then we sit here and we go, oh, I realize I haven't been with Jesus since last Sunday when I was sitting here. We get distracted and busy, and he's called us to come away, sit at his feet. Let me tell you what that looks like practically. It might mean that you wake up 5 minutes early every day. That's it. 5 minutes early every day. Get your coffee and sit with Jesus. Open the Bible, read the scripture. Don't make this heavy thing where it's like, I have to spend 2 hours in prayer or else it doesn't count. That's not true. That's religion. That's not what we don't serve religion. We serve God. Amen. We have a relationship with Jesus. So it means those few minutes a day, in 5 minutes, he can speak truth to me that I need for that day. The Bible says his mercies are new every single day, every single day. That means you wake up, guess what? Fresh start, new day. You've got something just for me today. And the more that you do that, the clearer you'll hear his voice. Last week, Richie talked about Lazarus' death. And I think it was so interesting because I didn't know when Richie said, Missy, you're talking about Mary, I didn't really focus on who he was talking about and ask him. I assumed he was talking about Mary Magdalene, right? That's who I assumed that, right? She's associated with Jesus. And then as I started really praying about it, this is who the Lord brought to my attention. And then last week, Richie talks about Lazarus, and I think, oh, shoot, he's going to talk about what I think I'm supposed to talk about next week. And he didn't, but God's so good because he wove it together in this way, where Richie laid the framework for last week's message on how we talked about Lazarus' death. And then here we see sandwiched in this story is another story, the second story of Mary of Bethany. And here's what happened. Lazarus had died, and everybody's upset. And Jesus waited. The Bible says he waited to go to the situation. They had called for him and he said, it's okay, don't worry. It's okay, no big deal, I got it. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. 4 days. They had never seen anyone raised after 4 days. They had seen people raised by Jesus, but not after 4 days. So their hearts were broken. They were in a pattern of grief. And it caused them to not be able to think clearly and to see truth in that situation of he can raise the dead. But even if he does, like Richie said last week, even if he doesn't, he's still good. Right? So Martha, being Martha, right? Martha goes out to Jesus and she says, hey, listen, we called you. Where were you? You didn't come. And now he's dead. Right? This is the Martha we know. This is the Martha we know, we love. And Jesus says directly to her situation, he speaks to her and he says, Martha, calm down. I got it. And then he says this, where is Mary? Go get her. I want to talk to her. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Go get her. I want to talk to her. Church, how often do we go through something hard and we hide? And Jesus says, come here. I want to talk to you. There's something going on. You're hiding. You're avoiding. You don't want to pray. Come here. I want to talk to you. As a parent, how often do we go to our kids in those situations? Hey, you're having a rough day. Let's talk. Your heavenly Father does that with you when you have a relationship with him. We're not talking about a deity in the sky looking down at you going, I hope you figure it out. We're talking about the Savior of the world came down for you, just to have a relationship with you. And he's calling his daughter Mary, and he's saying, come here, baby. We got to talk. And listen, where we pick up this story. John 11:32, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet. Again, we see her at the feet of Jesus. And she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I know that there are people who will stand on the platform of, you know what? They didn't have faith, and that's why this happened. And I got to tell you something. I think the very opposite reason is why they put this verse in the Bible. God put this verse in the Bible. Because we are going to walk through disappointing seasons. We are going to. It's the nature of life. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, if you're a believer or a non-believer. It doesn't matter if you're Hindu. It doesn't matter what your religious practices are. We all walk through difficult seasons in life. All of us. And the fact that the Bible puts this in there for us to see in this life of Mary is so key. Because it says it's okay to bring your junk to the feet of Jesus. It's okay to bring my disappointment and lay it at the feet of Jesus. It's okay to say, hey, I don't understand why you did this. Why didn't you raise my brother? But her posture was at his feet. She was still submitted to her Savior. She didn't go eyeball to eyeball. She didn't go nose to nose. The Bible says she humbly fell at his feet, weeping. Church, I do not think that Jesus gets mad at us and God gets mad at us when we say, I don't get it. I don't get it. I think we want to hide and hold back like Mary did. Don't go to him. But when she finally did, he called her. She fell at his feet and she said, I don't get it. When was the last time that something hurt real bad and you fell at his feet and you said, I don't get it. But when I get up from here, I trust you. When I get up from this place, I believe you're still good. And this is hard, but I know you're going to work all things out for good because you love me and you have a plan for my life. Church, we got to lay at his feet. We got to sit at his feet and learn. We got to bring our disappointment. We got to bring those hardships. We got to bring that stuff to his feet because that's the safest place you can bring it. Yeah. You can bring it to this person. They're not going to be able to give you any kind of insight on that. You can bring it to a friend and they can give you a hug, but they can't speak directly to that situation and give you truth for that situation. The only person that can is Jesus. And that's got to be our posture. We walk the majority of our time with the Lord is going to be walked in seasons of disappointment where you don't think he acted in a way that you wanted him to act in a season. Lord, if you would have blank, then this would not have happened. Lord, if you would have came through for me and intervened in this situation, I wouldn't have had to walk through that season. And I want to tell you right now, listen to my voice. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. He will tell you in due season, and you will know why you walked through that. But it's probably not for you. It's probably for someone that's coming behind you that needs to see you can serve God in the midst of hardship and difficulty. Yesterday, we had an amazing, amazing opportunity to listen to Sharon give her testimony about her situation with her husband. For 39 years, she served him faithfully. Whether he did what she felt like and what she felt like the promises were for her, whether she saw those come to pass or not, it didn't matter because she trusted God in the middle of all of that. She said so poignantly yesterday, God loves us, but we have a free will. And I thought that was so perfect, because here's the bottom line. God can show us all of these things, but we have to make it a determination in our heart that we are going to put our faith in him and we are going to put our trust in him, and come hell or high water, I don't understand what it looks like, but I'm going to serve you faithfully in the midst of that. He's good. He's a good God. He's a good God, and he's faithful and he's loving. And no matter what hell you've walked through, God can turn it around and use it for good in your life if you submit it to him. Don't hide from him and run away. Give it all to him, because he's here. He's faithful. Where do you take your disappointment? Do you lay it or do you stuff it? Do you lay it at the feet of Jesus or do you stuff it down on the inside? And then you explode at something weird. You know, the dog bit the rug, so the dog has to die today. You know what I'm saying? So, right? Or do we, Richie's saying, sometimes he has to die. No, he doesn't have to die. Do we lay it at Jesus' feet? That's the most important thing for your disappointment, because when we stuff and when we shove and when we say like, oh, it's fine, everything is fine. It's not fine. Sometimes it's not fine. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes what you walked through, you don't fully process until you become an adult. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose in your life. And you're like, wait a second, I thought this was already dealt with. No, it was shoved. You didn't lay it. There's a difference. Let him use what you've had in your hand for all of these years. Let him open your hand and let him heal what you have. Because I promise you, once he heals it, that place that used to be a stumbling block and a tripping place, that place where you say, wait a second, you didn't come through like I wanted you to, and now I'm scared to trust you. And Jesus is saying, no, I just wanted to show you an area where we needed to grow in your faith a little bit. I just want to show you the area where you needed to grow a little bit. The last place that we read about her is somewhere extremely special, and it does have to do with Holy Week, and this is Holy Week coming up. And it's John 12:3, and it says this, then Mary took 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume and made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. Let's just take this as a context. This is 2 ounces, okay? This is only 2 ounces of this essence of nard, spike nard. This is what this is. But this is only 2 ounces. And the Bible says she took 12 ounces. Some of you have heard this story. This is Mary with the alabaster box. And I think this part of the story is so beautiful to me, because imagine this for a second. You have this woman who has essentially, like us, sat at the feet of Jesus to learn about who he was, right? This is where we heard about her first. And then from there, we see her bringing her disappointment to him. But what I love about this part of the story so much is that Mary heard something that nobody else heard. She heard, anoint Jesus with oil. That's what she heard, because he's going to die. Nobody else heard that except for her, because she sat with him, because she was intimate with him. She had a relationship with him, not sexual, but an intimacy where she could pour out her disappointment to him, unafraid that he was going to be mad at her or angry at her. And then as a result of that, she could hear clearly when he said, I have something I need you to do. Church, when was the last time that God asked you to do something and it didn't make sense then, but when you look back on it, it made sense? When was that time? The thing about this was not just that this was costly. The Bible says that it costs more than a year's worth of wages for that. But most scholars believe that the reason why she had that much of that oil And why it was that costly is because it was her dowry. It was her security for a relationship one day with a man. That was her security in a relationship with a man. And Jesus, in that small voice, speaks to her and says, are you willing to take that security and dump it on my feet and anoint me because I'm going to die for your sins so that you can spend the rest of eternity with me? Are you willing to take your security, church, in whatever you've put it in? Are you willing to dump it, break it, pour it out, and waste nothing on this life? Or were you willing to say, Jesus, it's all yours. Whatever I am, whatever I have, all that I am is yours. If it doesn't look like what I want it to look like, if my life doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like, if I don't get to see you act the way I thought you should act, am I still willing to take my oil, my life, this extravagant life, and pour it out over you and say, just use me however you want? Are we there, church? Or are we in the place where we're afraid to let God have that much of us? Are we afraid because what it's going to cost me? It cost her her security. It cost her her life. She ultimately gave Jesus everything that she had of value. And I think he's asking you today, would you be willing to give me what you have? Even if you feel like it's insignificant and it's not, it doesn't matter and it's not a lot, but you can have it, Jesus. It's yours. Are you willing to do that, church? There's a beautiful place in our walk with Christ if we can get there. And he doesn't say, that's it, give me everything, and then you're going to end up in Africa. You know what I mean? Poor, ministering to people in huts. That's what I used to think. I used to think if I tell Jesus, you can have it all, then I'm going to end up being a nun somewhere. And, you know, he's going to ask me to do things that are like, I'm going to be beheaded. Like, this was my thought process growing up, right? That it was going to be so extravagant that it was just going to cost too much. And you know what's so beautiful about Jesus is that every single time he's asked something of me, I feel his grace sufficient for whatever he's asking me for. That I don't feel overwhelmed, because the Bible says, take on his yoke because it's easy and his burden because it's light. It means I walk into a season and I go, okay, I don't get it, but this season is yours. My life is yours. I'm going to sit at your feet daily because I know every single day you're going to speak truth to my situation and you're going to speak life to this situation. And because of this, I'm going to be able to walk out, and my security is not in that, it's in you. Church, we got to get to that place where we can do that. We got to get to that place where we can do that, because it's in those seasons, it's in that place where people's lives are changed. People's lives are changed. You have no idea. Chip talked about this today again in Team Rally, where he said, I feel like I'm supposed to, in this season, minister to two people. That's what I feel like I'm called to do. That's it, two people. But guess what? It's not just two people to Jesus. Those are lives that he wants to see in eternity with him. What if we took two people, church? What if that's all God called us to do, is minister to two people? Would we be okay with that? Or would we say, wait, no, I wanted to minister to 1,000 people. Would we be okay with that? Would we be okay if it was just one? What in this season has God called you to do, uniquely called you to do? What is it? Only you know. The disciples were so upset that she dumped this bottle of this alabaster box over their feet, over Jesus' feet. And let me tell you something. It wasn't that they were just being ridiculous and outlandish. Jewish law prohibited wasting of natural resources, prohibited it, especially things like oils, cutting down trees for no reason. They were very particular about this. But I love what Jesus says. He says, leave her alone. That's what he says. Leave her alone. Let me say it like this. Mind your business. This is between me and her. Mind your business. This is between me and her. I asked her to anoint me to be buried. You didn't hear it. This is between me and her. There's something that Jesus is asking you to do between you and him, and your spouse doesn't know, and the people around you don't know, and they don't understand it, and it feels like a lot, and you're giving, and you're even questioning in your mind, like, is this really what you've asked me to do? And Jesus is saying, this is between me and you. This is between me and you. Nobody knows how much it costs for your oil. Nobody knows how much it costs for you to be able to break it open and give it to Jesus. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the sacrifices you've made. Nobody knows the price you've paid. This is between you and Jesus. And some of you in here are sitting here thinking, Misty, I feel the Lord asking me to do something, but I feel like it's going to cost me a lot. It is. But let me tell you something. He never leads you to a place where he hasn't already graced you for that season, where he hasn't already made provisions for that season, where he hasn't already prepared the hearer and the heart of those who will hear what you have to say. Don't minimize your oil. Don't minimize your sacrifice. Don't say, you can't use me, God, because X, because I've done this. There are things inside of you that are exactly what someone else needs. There are seasons that you've walked through that are difficult and hard, but it's the exact thing that's going to bring freedom and deliverance to someone else. Don't sit on your oil. Break it open and pour it out. Give your life. Give your life to Jesus. I promise you, it's hard. It's hard. But I promise you, it is the best decision that you're going to make. And some of you are saved. Yes, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and that's about it. And I'm good with that because that's about all I can give. Could you give 5 minutes every day to Jesus? Maybe that's your next step. Maybe it's not, I got to give away, you know, everything and live on a farm somewhere. You know, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just he's asking you for 5 minutes a day. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to pour out that part of your life for him? Are you willing to set a boundary around your time with him so that you can hear clearly when he speaks to you? If you are, I promise you, he will take that small thing that feels so insignificant and he will speak volumes to you. And you will know exactly what your next steps need to be in every season of life. Band, if you would come, please. Can we stand? So we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're going to bring our disappointment to his feet. And then when he asks something of us, we can give it because we've had all of this time with him. I know this message isn't popular. Some of you might be like, why is a chick up there speaking? We don't even believe in that. I get it. I get it. We don't go to that church. I'm sorry.
Amen.
If you knew me 5 years ago, you would know I would have told you I'm never speaking in church on a Sunday. Never. Unless it's to youth, and then I'll yell at them and it'll be fine and it'll be right. But when Jesus asks you, a little bit at a time, you can do it. I promise you. Today, he might just be asking you, can I be Lord of your life? Would you just say, okay, I don't know what it looks like. I don't have it all figured out. I feel pretty crappy on the inside, but I'm willing to take a shot. He may be saying to you, take the next step, whatever that looks like. Are you willing to do that, church? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day, God. Lord, I thank you that like Mary of Bethany, God, that our life looks a lot like that as believers, God, where you take us through seasons of growth. God, you don't just expect us to be. You walk with us. I pray in Jesus' name for each person that's in this room tonight, today, Lord. I pray for each hearer. Lord, speak truth to them. God, I pray that if this is the first time they're hearing about you, Lord, if this is the first time they're hearing about your love for them, God, I pray that they couldn't shake it, God. Lord, that it would resonate so deep inside of them that they would have to know more about you. God, I pray for the person that you're asking to take the next step. I pray they would do that. Lord, quietly, where they are, I pray they would just say, Jesus, will you come into my heart? Will you know me? Will you use me? Will you walk with me? God, I just thank you for every person who's walked through a difficult season. Seasons of loss, seasons of hardship, seasons where they thought you should do something, but you didn't do it. Lord, those difficult seasons and those difficult trials, God, I pray that you would give us the resolve. Get up off of the floor once we've laid those things at your feet, God, to stand up and say, yet he slay me, yet I'll praise him. I thank you for those seasons, Father God, where you have taken us through hardship and difficulty, but on the other side of that, there's been a sweet-smelling aroma, Father God, of your presence in our life. And I thank you that people will come to know you, God, because of what we walk through. Because we suffered, God, but we suffered because of you. And that you've given us the grace to endure. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that there is nothing in our life that's wasted, not one thing. I thank you that in every season, God, that there's an opportunity for growth. Lord, let us lean into those seasons, God. Thank you for your favor. In Jesus' name, amen.